I'm Bert Cohen. Welcome to Portside. Well, the USA is changing, and New England is leading us throughout it all. New Hampshire may become the, fifth or sixth state, something like that. It's the new sensation that's sweeping the nation. We're talking about equal marriage. And Mo, are you with us?
I'm with you, Bert. How are you?
I'm all right. This is Mo Baxley, and you are incredibly hardworking these days. I'm not sure. You're executive director of the New Hampshire Freedom to Marry Coalition. Is that the best title?
That's correct.
And just before we got on, I asked how you're doing, and I loved your response.
Dancing as fast as I can.
Yes, indeed. Well, in the first half, we're going to be talking with Mo Baxley about some of the mechanics and what has been going on and what... You know, this is really a national issue here. New Hampshire is just one of many now where it seems like we are getting over the fear. And I'd like to go right into that. There have been some very, very hot hearings in the New Hampshire House in particular. Well, in this New Hampshire Senate, it was so large it had to be held in the really large Representatives Hall, and people were vociferously against it. I was rather amazed, and I suppose I should have known this before, but it's a good thing I went to the hearing on gay marriage, equal marriage, really, allowing people of the same gender to marry one another and have just the same rights, no more, no less. And people from the other side, I believe it was a pastor of some sort, said that the whole problem started when women stopped wearing skirts and dresses and started wearing pants. I couldn't make this stuff up. What is your sense? And my sense is that the state senators, even those on the right and unsure about gay marriage, felt like these people are just way too extreme. What is going on with the other side? Have you picked up on what motivates their anger, their viciousness? It strikes me as fear. And I asked one of them up there, what are you so afraid of? And she denied that they were afraid of anything. What's your sense about this whole fear issue?
Let me say two things. First of, this is controversial inside this building, not so much on Main Street, New Hampshire. We've been polling on this since 2003. We've always had a majority support on this issue. What is different this year is that for the first time, we've kind of been invaded by these national organizations. The National Organization for Marriage is doing TV ads and radio ads and, Google ads. And they are bringing people in from out of the state. So a lot of that hostility that you hear, and it's not necessarily coming from New Hampshire folks. There are people who live in New Hampshire who are opposed to this. They're probably somewhere around 25% of the population. And it really comes from either a generational age place or a religious place. There are people who really believe and stand up and testify that we are a Christian nation and that our laws should be based on their particular interpretation of the Bible. It's hard to argue with those people because they, are just sort of religious radicals, and I don't think they represent... Main Street religious institutions. I mean, we know that we've got more religious institutions that support this issue than oppose it. But, fire and brimstone.
Fire and brimstone it was. It was pretty amazing. It was quite some theater. And, you know, one of the things that was careful to be done about the New Hampshire bit of legislation, which, as of this moment, when we're recording this, is gone to the governor. The governor of Maine just signed, just yesterday before this is recorded, Maine's equal marriage bill, which was a great thing. So now we have Maine, Vermont, Massachusetts, I believe Connecticut. Is that right?
Connecticut and Iowa.
And good old Iowa. The trend seems to be going pretty clearly. And one of the things that the religious people were concerned about, and I can understand this because I certainly believe in the separation of church and state, and they were afraid that the law for gay marriage would impose it on various different churches. They were afraid. There were people expressed their fear, and there is, as I say, a lot of fear, that under this law, people could be arrested. Pastors and ministers could be arrested and sent to jail if they didn't perform a gay marriage in their church. Speak to that, please.
Well, and there are organizations like this, you know, Focus on the Family and the National Organization of Marriage, and they intentionally frighten people on this issue. Now, we know in the United States we have our Constitution. It's the separation of church and state. The New Hampshire Constitution has the separation of church and state. You know, and it's similar to divorce. Divorce is legal, but there are still religions who do not recognize divorce. And, you know, even if you get legally divorced, you're not divorced in the eyes of your church, and you can't remarry. But it's all about the, stirring up the fear of people and trying to define a class of people, the gay and lesbian community, as something other than that, than who we are. At a certain generational, it can work. People get so angry and so frightened that somehow this is going to hurt them or, the sky is going to fall. And it's really not.
And it does seem in the New Hampshire legislature, which is quite unique, there are 24 senators, having been one myself for 14 years, and 400 members of the House. But it seems that there are not that many real extreme right wing, and they do try to represent the people. And it's been said that Republicans in the state Senate were so afraid of standing up to the chairman of the party, one remembers John H. Sununu, who was chief of staff under the first President George Bush, that they would not vote for the bill that some of them actually support in private. The GOP chairman has called bills supporting equality, quote, garbage, which is incredible. I hesitate to even say that. It's just incredible. He's trying to manipulate the fear and bigotry. And it seems like a lot of Republicans, even though they really do support this, seem cowed. How accurate is that?
Well, I think it's quite accurate. We know the Republican Party has run primaries against its moderate members. We certainly lost two good long-term legislators in Concord with Liz Hager and Jim McKay, two primaries. You know, and I don't know what John Sununu is thinking. It's like, one, you should never call people or families from New Hampshire garbage.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a certain level of decorum we just should never go beneath, and he has certainly gone straight to the gutter on a whole range of issues. It's unfortunate. And I think it's why the Republican Party is rapidly losing members. It's like, I remember the old Republican Party before it seemed to be taken over by the radical right. And the small government and individual liberties.
Yeah.
What's refreshing to see now is that young Republicans are going back to that and saying, this is not where we stand. This is not our issue. So I think the next generation of Republicans will go back to, you know, the traditional grand old party platform of, you know, personal responsibility and individual liberties. But, I think John Sununu's, I can't imagine what he's thinking, that this is going to be successful. I mean, he can scare people short term, but he's really out of touch.
Well, certainly the Bush administration very, very effectively manipulated fear, but I think people wised up to that after a while and realized we were being taken advantage of and jerked around. And I strongly agree that the Republican Party, obviously I'm a Democrat, but I don't hide that at all. Certainly a progressive Democrat, but that I think they'd be smarter to eject these fear mongers and the haters. And they deny that they're hateful, but I was there in that audience. You were there in that audience.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous hate just coming out there. And the hate, it strikes me as being part of and in context of the culture war. And they feel like, my sense is, and tell me if you agree, that they feel like this is drawing the line in the sand. We have to stop it here. We, the hard right, the Christians who want to have their way over everybody, definitely authoritarianism, want to say, no, we're not going to take any more. And I'm not sure that the culture war thing is working anymore. There is change going on. People embraced change with the election of President Barack Obama. And, a lot of people say that, some people have suggested that they use the term family. Everybody likes the term family. Family is, it's where you go to be safe and secure and have support. Some people have suggested that the right wing is using the term family as a code for a stratified society in which the heterosexual, largely white males rule by virtue of their potential for paternity. And if paternity is not a prerequisite for authority, it means all kinds of talented people can get promoted to positions of importance. And it's no longer will authority be a natural attribute. People will have to work and achieve by merit their social standing. And I'm guessing that may be part of what's going on. Do you see that as well?
I absolutely do. I think there are people who want to go back to the good old days of the 40s and 50s. But the good old days weren't so good if you were a woman or if you were a person of color or if you were gay or you were particularly poor. So it's like there's definitely a certain sense to that, and there really, really are a group of people who want to replace our constitutional government and think that we should be a theocracy and run on their particular interpretation of, their religious doctrine. But I don't want to suggest that they represent the religious opinion on this, because they really don't. They're a very small minority.
Well, and I saw a letter to the editor today actually said the angels were doing God's bidding and going down to Sodom to destroy it because of their homosexual practices. And they refer to Genesis 18:12, 19:38. My sense is not everybody interprets the Bible that way. And that this destruction, this sort of welcoming destruction, seems to be a part of the other side. And I don't think people believe in family. They want family.
They're not
threatened by that. I don't think, I don't see as Jim Splaine, the prime sponsor of this legislation, State Rep Jim Splaine in New Hampshire, said so brilliantly, I think, on the Senate, on the floor when it was being testified. He said, how does any marriage threaten any other marriage? And I asking people, some people who are on the other side who may not be of the extreme right say, well, why isn't civil union good enough? Why isn't civil union good enough? And he said, would you trade your marriage for a civil union? There was concern within the gay and supportive community that now is not the time to put in gay marriage back when this bill was introduced. Is it pushing it too much? And why not? I mean, civil union provides...
Well, it's like I've heard people say that before, but I think I have a fairly good pulse on what the gay community is thinking, being the elected representative to speak. And I don't think there was anyone in the gay community who was thinking that, it's too far, too fast. It's like, it's not too fast when you've been waiting for justice all your life. Now is the time. Now is always the time. to protect families and to eliminate discrimination.
Yes, and I will say, in full disclosure, my brother has been with the same guy for like 34 years, which is longer than most straight people I know. It's family. You know, it's family. One thing I wonder about, and you talk about discrimination, and no time is too early. The time is now. I think Barack Obama quoted Martin Luther King on that. I can't remember the exact quote, but something about the importance of now. What I'm a little bit surprised at, now that the District of Columbia just recently, by a vote of 12 to 1, passed the recognition of gay marriage from other states. But Marion Barry, who of course is black, said, quote, "All hell is going to break loose. We may have a civil war. The black community is just adamant against this." What do you make of that? The black community has felt discrimination.
See, and that's another thing that you hear, and I simply don't think it's true. It's like Coretta Scott King was very outspoken and supportive, as has been the NAACP. You know, it's like those are the myths that people sometimes try to use to create the wedge issues, to separate one group of people from another group of people. Certainly, every step of the way on this issue, people of color have been standing up and speaking with us and standing next to us. And by the way, we shouldn't assume that the gay and lesbian community is all white. We are not a white community. You know, so it's like we are of color.
That's...
So it's like I dismiss that.
Yes.
That, you know.
The gay community, right. I'm thinking that, you know, just as in the white community, there are men who want control, you know, white or straight men who want control, you know, male domination. And it's hard to let go of that. As I said, that one pastor spoke about, the problem began when women started wearing pants and not wearing skirts and dresses enough. And that's about domination and control, as far as I can tell. Bert Cohen here on Portside. We're talking with Mo Baxley, very hardworking Executive Director of New Hampshire Freedom to Marry Coalition. We may become the next state. It's entirely possible. And it could happen, how soon? I mean, the Senate's passed it. The governor, the House has passed it. Now they've concurred. Now it's in the governor's hands. And he has five...
Well, it's not quite in the governor's hands. It takes, it has to go through the enrollment process.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
It takes a week to two.
So it's still
not like it's on his desk this morning.
So it still has a week or two to go. Well, that's good to know. Now, one thing that I mean, this is rather political, is between some Republicans and some Democrats. The National Review just had an article saying, how did gay marriage advocates persuade New Hampshire Democrats in the state Senate to narrowly support gay marriage? They got the National Democratic Party to threaten state senators with retaliation if they didn't toe the line, such as primary opponents or even moving the presidential primary date out of New Hampshire. That's how, end of quote. What do you make of that? Does New Hampshire tend to...
It is 100% false. They cannot and will not accept the majority of New Hampshire believes in equality and opposes discrimination. And that, you know, that the majority of New Hampshire have spoken up. It's like with 400 representatives, you know who your representative is. They're your neighbor. So it's like they're trying to suggest that it happened for any other reason except the people of New Hampshire believe in equality.
They just...
And I find it offensive.
Oh, it is, to suggest that. How is this possible? These people can't be thinking for themselves and freely choose to allow equal marriage. There was quite the struggle. It hasn't been easy. It's certainly been some heavy lifting. But again, in full disclosure, Mo and I worked together when I was in the state Senate to end what had been legal discrimination based on perceived sexual orientation. It used to be the case in New Hampshire that if... Say, for example, the best example I can think of, a tavern, a bar, went from being a straight bar to a gay bar, and this was in some other state, and somebody tried to get a job there saying, I want to, you know, work as a bartender or whatever, and they said, oh, no, you can't, you're straight. We made that illegal. we made that illegal. It was very tough. It took a couple of times, but we made it illegal to discriminate based on perceived sexual orientation. And I wonder, some people have suggested that New Hampshire has moved clearly to the left. Or would you say, you've been around New Hampshire a long time, we are known throughout the world as the live free or die state, a very libertarian state. Is this a sign, the progress of the equal marriage, is this a sign that New Hampshire really has moved left, or is it more just consistent with the live free or die philosophy that we've had forever?
Well, and it is, as you said, you and I worked on the campaign to end discrimination for gays and lesbians in employment and housing and public accommodations 10 years ago.
Right.
Before that, it was hate crimes. I think this is just the live free or die state, and I don't think there are people in New Hampshire who want to hurt their neighbors. So it's always been just a matter of sitting down and bringing our grievances and explaining to our neighbors and now elected officials why this is necessary and how this harms New Hampshire citizens and New Hampshire families, and they respond and answer to that grievance and try to address it and fix it. So I think New Hampshire has always been the live free or die state, and I think we have a long history of abhorring discrimination and valuing individual liberties. Wasn't it George Washington's slave who ran away to New Hampshire? And when George Washington asked for his slave back, New Hampshire said, most certainly not.
Huh. All right.
Like, so this is as granite state as it gets.
That is a great story. I hadn't heard that before. Bert Cohen here. You're listening to Portside, and we're talking with Mo Baxley, who's been at it for a while. Do you ever get any sleep in this thing? I can't imagine. Trying to make sure that New Hampshire becomes the next state in a wave to legalize marriage with people.
We have people all over the state downloading our petitions and getting them signed and putting up the lawn signs. All popping up across the state that say support equality,
right,
as you're driving around. And it's like, so it's like there are many, many, many people working on this. And, it's like, as I said, when people speak to their elected officials, they're hurt. That's what we can all be proud of in New Hampshire.
Yes, we are a representative state. And that's one thing we have, the live free or die spirit here, the keep government out of our private business. That's, that's neither left nor right. It just is who we are in this state, and this seems to fit here. And the other side has said that the Christian religion specifically forbids gay marriage in the Old Testament, and they act like marriage is some perfect institution free from laws. I wonder if they would, and they've said all children need a man and a woman, mother and father, and that marriage is about procreation. Well, obviously, that one, a lot of people get married and don't plan to have kids. It doesn't matter if they're gay or straight. But one of the most moving bits of testimony was from a woman named Beth Campbell, who told about her growing up in with a mother and father. The father was terribly abusive, a drinking alcoholic who physically abused her, and her mother was very abusive as well. It seems to me that that's what they want to keep. That is the only acceptable form for bringing up kids. Isn't it about, and then she quoted, this was beautiful. I thought she was trying to write her speech, and she quoted a crossword. And it was something like, correct me if I'm wrong on this, that it was a four-letter word, and the description was reason to get married. And it wasn't procreation.
Right, right. This has nothing to do with, we're talking about civil marriage here.
Right.
And we're talking about the law. We're national laws. It has nothing to do with anyone's religion.
Right.
Not being a Christian, I won't speak to any particular interpretation of any Christian doctrine. So, we're talking about the law, and we're talking about whether all citizens of New Hampshire are treated equally. And, do we want to continue this second-class status in New Hampshire, or do we recognize all citizens and all families count?
families. That's what it is about, really, that, you know, it doesn't really matter what your sexual orientation is. And maybe there's a fear that gay couples will bring up gay children. Well, my brother was brought up by two straight parents.
Nah. And it's like, this has been studied for decades, and every medical or professional association that works and is charged with looking out for children, supports marriage equality, including the American Academy of Pediatric Medicine, the, you know, Child Welfare League, the Association of Social Workers, and it's because they understand that children do best when they come from a loving, stable home. It's all about having parents who love them and having the children secure that the relationships are stable.
Right.
And it doesn't have anything to do with, you know, male or female or, you know, children brought up in all sorts of different families these days. And it's about love, and it's about good parenting, and it's about stability.
And I wish those people who are so afraid of it could recognize that we've had enabled gay couples to adopt children for a long time, and there hasn't been any harm done from that. There hasn't been any harm from anti-discrimination. You know, just relax, and it's...
And don't you find that ironic that the state of New Hampshire allows us to jointly adopt children but won't give us a $45 marriage license?
I couldn't make that up. You're right. That's pretty bizarre. It's you know... We're talking with... Mo Baxley of the New Hampshire Freedom to Marry Coalition. What else is happening across the country as you know it? I know you've been focused here on the Live Free or Die Granite State, but there must surely be other states that are pushing it ahead as well.
Well, I have to congratulate my friend in Maine, Betsy Smith. She beat me again. They became the fifth state in the nation to pass marriage equality yesterday. So congratulations to our friends up in Maine. We hope to follow right behind them. D.C., as you said earlier, the D.C. Council has unanimously supported recognizing marriage equality. The governor of New York is saying he wants to build a sign on marriage equality. The governor of New Jersey wants to build a sign on marriage equality. So, you know, this stuff is happening all over, and I think the more America gets comfortable with this idea, the more it just says, oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
you know,
we'll look back at this someday and think, what was the big deal?
What was the big deal, and isn't it horrible that there were people who actually thought this was a bad idea?
I know. Well, thank you so very much. Now, I know you got the New Hampshire Freedom to Marry Coalition website. Do you know, is there some kind of national website? Because this will be webcast on Progressive Radio Network. Do you know if there are other, if people are interested in, say, Arizona or places like that, what can they do?
They can do that from my website. So if they go to www.nhftm.org, there are links to all the other states and stuff.
Excellent. Well, good luck there. You have a lot of, you know, you're working on it hard, but a lot of people all across the state of New Hampshire have worked up a sweat about this issue, trying to do the lifting to make sure that we just get simple equality. Thank you so much, Mo, for being with us today. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule.
It's always good to talk to you, Bert.
Likewise.
All right.
Thanks, Mo.
Talk to you soon.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
And we'll be back in just a couple minutes talking to a guy that's been working on this issue from a very personal angle. Bert Cohen here. Stay tuned for more Portside. Everything's gonna work out. Oh. Well, I trust everything will work out all right. We're moving ahead here. Bert Cohen, welcome back to Portside. And with us is Brian Rader. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
And he, just as we were off the air, he was saying how not sure about his cell phone battery, so I'll do what we can here. What is your interest in making this change? I know you've been involved in the issue of equality for a long time. Tell us about your personal interest and maybe some of the things that, that you have testified to here in the New Hampshire legislature.
Well, I mean, my personal interest is that, you know, obviously I'm a gay man myself, and I am married. I have a wonderful husband, Brendan, that we've been together now for about 13 years. And we actually had a wedding. He did propose to me, and we got all of our family and friends together for a big wedding in our backyard about 5 years ago. Now, and that was a wonderful occasion. You know, it was being marked by all of our family and all of our friends and whatnot. But it didn't have, you know, the legal recognition that was associated with it. But why this matters to me on a more personal level, you know, far more than that even really, is, you know, in growing up being gay and being a part of a society where gay people are not really integrated in with the rest of society, you do feel very separate. And you're not there.
Oh, did I lose you? Oh my, did I lose you? Oh, how frustrating. Oh, how terribly frustrating. Well, I'm not sure if he can get to another. Oh, wow, that was really quick. We were just getting started here. I'll just see if I can do what I can, having been involved in it here, the issue of equal rights marriage in New Hampshire and across the country, really. What is the resistance to gay marriage? I am not really sure. People just want to get married and be a loving family. People have said one of the letters to the state senate here in New Hampshire said that they, people across the country, think that they think the people of New Hampshire, this is from the letter to the editor, they think the people in New Hampshire no longer care about the family. Please tell them they are wrong. What is family? Family has for a long time been and people who just want to be together. Mostly, you know, it is largely traditionally about children. And how many children are there right now that have single parents and there is a mother or a father who is loving that child and they're doing the best they can? It may not be ideal particularly, but you know, is any family ideal if you think about it? There's always a little bit of difficulty there. And my feeling has been, hey, if two people want to get married, good luck to them. It's hard work. We talked earlier about the situation in which there was a man and a woman who were married and had what turned out to be a wonderful kid, and they abused the kid. Terribly abused her. And these things happen in straight marriages. They happen. They shouldn't happen at all. People need to be familiar with what a family is. And this is my personal opinion here, Bert Cohen on Portside, that, you know, we have licenses for driving a car because it's dangerous. But anybody can get married. Anybody can have children. Shouldn't we know a little bit about what's necessary, what's expected, what should be provided for? Whether you're gay or straight has nothing to do with it, has nothing to do with it. It's about providing a supportive home and doing the best you can in any family situation. It's been charged that the homosexual lobby and their liberal allies in this particular state want to change all that forever. that one of the there's a group that came here to lobby against equal marriage here in New Hampshire, where the show is originating, from Virginia, called Public Advocate of the United States, which they say marriage between one man and one woman is the bedrock of our society. The traditional family value instills children with our most basic and important values. Well, what is it that instills our children with their most basic and important values? Can they not get those values from their schools? They should ideally, in my opinion, get it from their home, their family. I'm not sure how much school should be involved in saying what values there are, although there is a difference between public values and private values. We worked on that in the legislature many years ago at my initiative, quite honestly, to look at values, character and values education in our schools. And we worked on it for a while, and people got stuck for a while on, hey, what's going too far? What should local government or state government be involved in when it comes to inculcating and teaching values? We don't want to go too far because, I mean, there are religious values that sometimes conflict. Not everybody has the same values. But what we finally came around to was the realization that there is something pretty easily definable as public values. There are public values. There are private values. Certainly, personal choices that the state, the community, has no business being involved in. But it actually is pretty easy to delineate public values, such as just don't do to others what you wouldn't want them to do to you. Simple things like that. Respecting one another. People who have argued against what's going on across the country now, the gay marriage, the same-sex marriage issue, have said that, the homosexual lobby and their liberal allies, are trying to force tolerance on us, to force us to be tolerant. And I think that's an interesting point, that people, well, perhaps they don't want to be tolerant. But what does that mean? You know, we are a society. We're not just individuals. There are differences between people. People can live, you know, and do live in their own private areas and choose different communities to live in. But being tolerant, do they have to be tolerant in their churches? Do they have to recognize gay marriage in their churches? Of course not. If that were being done, there would be far less support for this act. I don't think there'd be any support for this act. Nobody wants to make and force any church accept anything that they don't want to do. And I think we may have our caller back. Let me try on line 2. Are you there?
Hi, it's Brian Rader again.
Hey, great.
Hey, sorry about that. I accidentally hung up the phone.
Oh, I thought your battery just ran out quicker than I could have imagined.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's like, well, it was kind of quiet on the other end there, so I thought I'd check the phone just to make sure it hadn't died, and I accidentally hit the hang up button. So it took me a couple minutes to call back in now.
Well, apparently they could make...
My apologies for that.
Oh, that's all right. Apparently they could make cell phones a lot smaller, but they don't, only because our fingers are only so small.
Yes, exactly.
Well,
exactly.
Why, tell us, Brian Rader, thanks for coming back on. Why aren't civil unions good enough? We've passed civil unions in New Hampshire quite a while ago. Why isn't that good enough? Why is it so important to have marriage?
Well, it's the same issue as when they had segregated busing. You know, if you think about it, you know, when they had, back in the 60s, when you had white people at the front of the bus and the black people at the back of the bus, technically speaking, they had the same access to all of the same benefits of society. You know, they were on the same bus. It was going to all the same destinations.
That's right.
They weren't getting anything that was different about it, but the fact that they had to be separated, that some people had to be declared to be different and separated from everybody else, was deeply offensive, and it was, you know, intended basically to say that these people are not equal, and to make you feel like you're not a part of a community together, but you're something separate. And that's exactly what civil unions does as well. It just keeps us separate and emphasizes the fact that we're separate from the rest of society.
Yeah, the old phrase was separate but not equal. And
absolutely.
I was thinking, you know, water fountains. You know, you get water at a colored water fountain. Mm-hmm. You get the same water, but something not quite right about that. We don't accept that anymore, to have a white water fountain and a black water fountain. Go ahead.
The president of the Maine State Senate actually gave this very compelling speech when she voted in favor of the marriage bill. And she said that, you know, when she was younger growing up in the South, she would drink from whites-only water fountains. And at the time, it didn't seem wrong to her because that's where you grew up in. Now, of course, you know, she can look back on it and see it completely differently. And I think that's the way that it is with the civil unions and marriage as well.
Hmm. Well, I was talking earlier with Mo Baxley. Did we do it again? Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, good. My goodness, that was a weird noise. I'll be prepared. But Marion Barry, you know, former mayor of District of Columbia, a black man, obviously, he was the one vote against it. He said the black community is just adamant against this. That he pointed out that more than 100 black ministers sent a letter of opposition, that this is against the moral compass of God. What's your reaction to that?
I completely disagree with him. And, you know, like the black community, just like the white community, is very divided on these issues. Now, Washington, D.C. is, you know, an overwhelmingly African-American city.
Sure.
I think it may be the only one, you know, in the country. And the city council voted, you know, it was almost unanimous. His vote was the only one that prevented it from being unanimous on there. And certainly that's, I think, a more accurate reflection of the sentiments of the city.
Yeah, I would think so. But there's, you know, as I think that points out that there are ideas and values that have really nothing to do with culture and you know, black, white, gay, straight, whatever. But it's some people, doesn't matter if you're black or white or whatever, would prefer to have real male domination. And a lot of people, I get the impression, a lot of people who are against this and who are afraid of this, it's not so much gay marriage. They seem to be afraid of men losing their inherited right to dominate.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because when we had the Senate hearing for this bill, you know, it was in Reps Hall, big chamber, you know, there were, you know,
about 500 people.
200-300 people that were there, maybe 400, I forget now exactly.
It was
one of the speakers on the other side, you know, got up and said, you know, he was appalled at this, and he said, it's time for the men to put their pants back on and for the women to put their dresses back on. And most of us were just appalled when he said that.
Yes.
But when he finished, he got a huge round of applause from the people who were opposed to the bill, including many women. You know, a woman who was sitting right next to me was applauding very loudly when he said that. I find that a little bit appalling, but
You know,
it emphasizes the big divide that we really have about the role of men and women in our society.
Well, for the most part, that's changed. I mean, the movement for women's liberation, women's equality, goes back a long, long time. It's been a long struggle. And you're right, not only that the guy said that, but that so many people clapped. That was the strange thing about it. But there is something, you know, what is fear? Fear is about, it's about change, about going to an unfamiliar territory and breaking through one's old comfort zone. And for many women, I suppose, now that you mention it, that, you know, maybe it's comfortable to have the old picture of the man does the work, the woman is restricted to at home, not just can choose that if she wants to, but that, you know, it was a comfortable picture, the old Ozzie and Harriet. And to change that, I can see how it can be kind of scary if that's what you were brought up in. And it makes me think about a letter to the editor which was written recently. It said, this is a needless and damaging bill. It will be catastrophic to dilute the definition of marriage. And this letter writer further said, it will reduce the participation in the institution of marriage by heterosexual couples as well. What do you say to that?
You know, I think that really kind of goes to the fears of some of the people who are opposed to this. Is their fear is, in part, you know, having, you know, gay and lesbian people be more widely accepted. But part of it is also the larger fear of societal changes. A lot of people, you know, like the comfort of the predictability of knowing that, you know, when they're in their older age, that things are going to be, you know, the same as they are now. And clearly, you know, that's never actually been the case because society is always changing. But, you know, it can be disconcerting, you know, not knowing exactly what the future is going to hold, not being able to predict. I think some people react against that more so than the specific issues here.
So
it's a difficult thing for somebody to sit there and say, you know, some change is good, some change is bad. Let's look at, you know, each individual thing and decide, you know, how can we make the world better? But, you know, people, you know, I think some people just say that any sort of change is bad.
Interesting. Well, other people have said, oh, I don't know why it's suddenly echoing here. Other opponents have said that, this is just the way it has always been. Marriage has always been just between a man and a woman. And what I don't think that's accurate historically. I you know, marriage is something relatively new, but it's, you know, there's been man and woman are certainly and have been traditionally necessary for procreation, but people choose to get together. Marriage also was instituted when people didn't live quite as long, and that may be a factor why there's so much divorce now. And this threat of perceived threat of gay marriage weakening straight marriage, it seems to me that, you know, quickie marriages, you know, people getting drunk and in Las Vegas and getting married real quickly there, you know, you think of lots of Hollywood stars getting quickie marriages. That's really the threat to marriage. I don't see it for, you know, the game. One marriage has anything to do with any other marriage. Tell me about, you know, and having been married myself for a long time, you know, it's got some great, great qualities that people want to share, you know, the sense of home and everything. And it has challenges too, like anything in life. Tell us about your choice. You've been married about, what, 5 years or so?
We've been, you know, we say we've been officially married for 5 years.
Right.
By that, I mean, you know, since we've had an actual wedding ceremony with our family and friends. Although we were actually legally married in Montreal about a year and a half ago. So we have the legal side of it as well. But for us, yeah, the marriage really is about making a commitment to each other, about expressing our love for each other. And, you know, it's basically telling each other and all of our family and friends that we want to spend the rest of our lives together, that that we do, you know, we consider each other to be our next of kin. You know, that sounds a little bit legal here, but but it's important because, you know, it defines that, you know, this is the person that I want making the major decisions for me if I can't. And, you know, this is the person that's part of our family now.
Family. Now, why you chose to get married, it was important for you to have the word marriage. And I believe that before the legislation this year got cooking in the New Hampshire House of Representatives and Senate, that there were some people who felt like, well, let's not push it here. We got civil unions. Let's, you know, let's cool it for a while. But why is it important to use the term marriage? And I note that in Europe, there's gay relationships and it's no big deal. And that marriage is less of a big thing there. Why is the concept, the word marriage, so important to you personally?
Well, the word marriage has always been the the word that's been used to signify, you know, a relationship like this. There hasn't been any other word in all of human history that has defined, you know, this kind of relationship. You know, you have your family relationships, you have your friends, and you have your marriage. The idea of calling someone, you know, a significant other, whatnot, which is really more akin to having a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You know, it's someone that you're dating. And this is the terminology, and this is kind of the structure that's been in place forever. This is how we understand each other. You know, when we use words to talk to each other, we understand that, you know, your friend is one thing and your spouse is another.
Right. And there were concerns in the New Hampshire legislation that people were worried that there wouldn't be husband and wife, so they adjusted the law. They compromised to make it, you can use the terms husband, wife, or spouse, you know, and that's your choice. I wonder.
That's common sense, and that's really what they should have done in the first place.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the marriage licenses themselves, you know, should specify, you know, if you're a husband, you're a wife, and it's great to add the option of a spouse as well for those who want to use it. I never liked the idea of being called like a person A and a person B. you know, I just never liked that at all.
I can't.
Impersonal.
We are talking about the personal effects of equal marriage rights. I can't really call it gay marriage because it's just equal rights, no more, no less. Bert Cohen here on Portside. We're talking with Brian Rader, who's been involved in working for equal marriage rights for a long, long time. Some of the opponents have said, oh, this is just a liberal agenda. They said they want to bring San Francisco across the country, New Hampshire and everywhere, the San Francisco values. But I got to tell you, isn't there something called log cabin Republicans? Log cabin Republicans, gay Republicans. How much of a liberal agenda is being forced down people's throats?
Well, here's the thing is, the reality is that what we're trying to do is to bring New Hampshire values to San Francisco, because quite frankly, they don't have legal marriages there right now.
And we want
to encourage them to do that.
That is a very, very good point. My goodness gracious, they don't have it there. It was voted down. What is the status of that Proposition 8 there? It was passed. Gay marriage was passed in California, and then there was a referenda, and it was defeated largely by...
It was defeated 52-48. It was extremely close.
Wow.
It was extremely close in a state with massive numbers of people in it. So it's interesting that we've actually gotten to this point in a society where you can take like millions of people like that, and they're that evenly divided on the issue. The issue would come down to just a few votes. Referenda is being challenged in the courts. There is a court case before the state Supreme Court to try to overturn it, and rumors are that the decision actually could come out potentially today, but hard to say exactly. But it's expected the Supreme Court is going to uphold Proposition 8. So marriages will remain illegal there for a while longer. Mostly activists there are working on coming up with a new petition, which they'll take to the voters to overturn Proposition 8 and reinstate marriages. And given that the vote was so close the first time, after a couple of years or so, it's entirely possible that the voters there will overturn that.
Well, this is an energy that, as I say, a new sensation that's sweeping the nation. It just goes on, and a great deal of energy here. Does this, just one final question, does this weaken families, as the other side has suggested?
Absolutely not. It brings families together. That's one of the problems, you know, that the gay community has kind of had, we've definitely had for many years, is that when people don't accept gay and lesbian people, they tend to not accept them in their own families either. And I've seen so many heartbreaking instances where somebody comes out and then they're rejected by parts of their family, and it really breaks up those families, which is just a really heartbreaking thing to see happen. I think as people set their aside these emotions and start accepting, you know, gays and lesbians just as people, then these there are fewer and fewer families that are being broken apart by anti-gay feelings, and more families are staying together. And that's just a wonderful thing to see happen over the last several years.
Wow, that is. And I know that there are many, many cases where parents have found out that their kids are gay, and at first they're very upset.
Mm-hmm.
But then they realize nothing has changed. It's still my kid. It's the same kid.
Mm-hmm.
My love for this child has not changed one bit. Doesn't matter if they're gay or straight. So, you know, I think, as you say, it really strengthens families, and it weakens, I don't know if it weakens anything, I suppose. Maybe just the whole picture of male domination over families and, daddy rules, whatever. The parents are still the parents. You know, it's not going to slip into, marrying multi people, a big whatever they call that out in Utah. But it's just two people, two adults choosing to enter into this institution of marriage. It's beautiful, it's wonderful, and it's hard work. And any suggestions for people if they want to be supportive in their communities?
Yes, you can call Governor Lynch and tell him to support this bill. His number is 271-2121.
And he's getting calls from out of state as well, 603-271-2121. He'll take calls from out of state, and we'll see
Absolutely. What
he does. And I certainly hope it continues. It's not going to be easy. The momentum seems to be there, but you never know. Brian Rader, thanks so much for being with us, and good luck to us all. Thank you very much. Bert Cohen here. Thanks very much for listening to Portside today. We're talking about people becoming partners for life. Challenging thing to do, but it's very rewarding. Partners for Life. This one is by Graham Parker, song of that title.
China to Chinatown, New York to Tokyo, upstate to down island, from here to there, from the backyard to the wide, wide open spaces, from the steel mills to the wind in your hair, from the claustrophobic beat of my heart to the openness of your smile. We're in this together, going the distance, right down to the last mile. 'Cause you're my partner, you are my partner, you're my partner for life. You're my partner, you are my partner, you're my partner for life. Yeah. Up the coast of Africa, the Straits of Gibraltar, through that tunnel where the birds migrate, in a hotel room with that running water, and all the clocks are running 1 hour late, and on the wall are paintings of couples intertwined, locked in embraces as if fighting for their lives, and the warm night air breeze through the open window, and husbands cling to their wives. Just like a partner, you are my partner, you're my partner for life. You, you're my partner for life. Yeah. Drive up to the ocean, out of the city and up the coast of Maine. Feel the spray in the ancient motion. Watch the children in the sand, watch them play. From the backyard to the wide, wide open spaces, from the the pounding officer to the general is a yellow smile. We're in this together, going a distance, right down to the last mile. Cause you're my partner, you are my partner, you're my partner for life.